is an interview for the Shoe Workers Oral History Project at the Museum LA. The date is September 5, 2008, and I'm here at Montello Heights in Lewiston, Maine with Irene Mador, and this is Andrea Lumgia. Could you start just by giving me your full name, including your maiden name?
Irene Y. Bilodeau, my maiden name, Mador.
And did you grow up in Lewiston?
Oh, yes. I lived right here on Montello for 53 years. I lived here.
Oh, wow.
And I saw this build, you know?
Oh, this building,
when they were
yeah.
building it, yeah.
Yeah. And what's your birth date?
3-6-23, 1923. And, well, I grew up over here, and I went to Holy Family School, and then I went 1 year in high school. And I stopped working because my mother was alone for me and my brother, so I went to work at 16. And I worked at the Maine Shoe for a long time. You know, I learned a lot of jobs over there. Mm-hmm. And then it got slow at the Maine Shoe. There wasn't enough. Things didn't look good, so I went to Clark Shoe. And I got a job there, and I went. That's where I married. I worked for my boss. I married him. And I worked there for a couple, 3 years, and we got married, and I stopped working because I was having my kids, you know, for
right.
5 years. And then I went back for a little while, and then I heard about Falcon Shoe coming to Lewiston. And where I was working at Belgrade before that, well, when I quit at Clark, I went to Belgrade Shoe. And it was quite a ways, you know, for the winter to travel, about 7 miles way up on Old Hotel Road. So I heard about Falcon Shoe, and I went and I got the job. I started with them in 63. They opened up. And it was about the month of November when I worked there, and they weren't in full operation till after January 1st, but I helped to line up my packing room, finishing room and packing, you know, because that's where I always worked,
Well, what kind of things were, what was finishing and packing? What was it that you did?
Well, we finished the shoes when they came out of the lasting room. From the lasting room, they came out to me, you know, last pullers. And I had girls who were cleaning the shoes, putting a dressing on it. Oh, first of all, they put a sock line inside, you know. And it was a process of finishing and making them look good. Had somebody to put a spray over them. They shined them up. And after that, well, we had the repairers who touched up here and there, you know, that was done along the way. And then I had some girls to pack them, put them in a, pair them up and put them in the boxes. So
now, starting at age 16, was that legal then to work?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I was working for 25 cents an hour until the NRA came in, you know. I don't know if you're, you know, we had the NRA parade, and I remember looking through by the windows, we could see them parade on Court Street, and they passed the law of 75 cents for minimum. And gradually it went up, you know,
yeah.
But working for 25 cents an hour, you know, didn't give me my $12.50. But in those days, in 1940, yeah, 1942, that it was a lot of money for us, you know, because my mother worked at the mill and she only made $14.50 a week, you know. Right. So I had to go help her. And I learned every job along the way, you know, from two, three different shoe factories. I learned different jobs. And when I went to Clark, I knew every job in the finishing and packing, but he needed a packer. So that's where I learned how to pair up the shoes, match them up, and size them and pack them. So
now, did you make different kinds of shoes at different places? What kind, different kinds
of
shoes?
Well, a Clark shoe, it was a novelty shoe. It was all sandals, and we made zebra, satin, leather, patent leather, all kinds of different sandals that we made over there. They were beautiful shoes. When I was at Main Shoe, we made nurses' shoes and regular lacing shoes, you know. But different places have different style of shoes. When I went to Falcon, they were making, well, they started on men's shoes that they brought in from from Brockton when Ted came, and he was with Bruce Hanley, and they opened up at Falcon Shoe on the fourth floor. So there wasn't many people. There was only one cutter and four or five stitches, and they were starting to learn how to put them on the lass, how to make the shoes, you know. But by January, it started in full production, you know. I got a little more people, and I knew a lot of people in Lewiston and Auburn, you know, having worked for so many years, that I brought in a lot of people to get things rolling. Yeah. And gradually we had a second line, so they made the men's shoes and we made the children's shoes. And so I ended up that by the time I retired, I had about 40, 45 people working. I had two lines and, you know.
Yeah. And did the different shoe shops have reputations in terms of one being better to work for than another, or was it just where the work was?
Yes, I know. Different places is right. It's they're very tough to work for, but Falcon Shoe came in and started. And from the beginning, they were wonderful. They were good to the people, and they paid well. And, of course, we didn't have the union, and they didn't want that. So they always paid a little better than the union would allow the other, you know. So they were very, very nice people to work for. I really enjoyed there. I worked there 20 years, and it was great. It was very nice.
Did you make friends with and socialize with other people that you worked with at the shoe shops?
Oh, yes. But you mean at Falcon Shoe?
Or whatever shoe place. I just wondered if your coworkers were also your friends outside of work.
Well, you know, so you can't please them all. So there was always a little ifs and there, you know, that. But at Falcons, a good worker would last quite a while, as you know. And really, the young girls that had never worked before, well, you know, they didn't stay very long. But we managed to get good help. We had very good help, and they were steady. We could depend on them, you know. And as the years went on, we had a dinner meeting at Falcon Shoe, and we had share of profit. Every meeting we had a share of the 3 months, you know, and very good bonuses, very well paid. Yeah, we had, I have no complaint. I really enjoyed working. It was the best place to work, really.
And you said your husband was also in the shoe.
He was a foreman for 30 years with Clark Shoe. And the reason I didn't want to go back there is because a lot of people resented me. You know, they thought I was telling on them and what was going on, because there's always somebody goofing off, you know. But so I got to the point I didn't want to. I said, I'm not going back to work for you. I'll look somewhere else. And that's how come I ended at Belgrade. I was a packer at Belgrade. Then I became a foreman over there. I worked there 13 years, and then I came to Lewiston to work, be closer to home and less traveling, you know, and so I really enjoyed better. And the reason I stopped is because of my legs. My veins were hurting me so bad, my legs used to swell up, and I couldn't sleep at night, and my husband had passed away, but I toughed it out till 60, and I decided I was better off to retire and take care of my legs, you know. Yeah. That's all.
So you didn't really experience a lot. I know a lot of people have talked about getting laid off as the shoe shop started closing. Did that affect you at all?
No, not us. Yeah. They were always in good production, Falcon Shoe. Uh-huh. But like at Main Shoe, they were good for, let's say, two seasons, and then it would be slow, and I was laid off, and I went to work a little bit like a Lombard Watson. I hated it. I worked only about a month, and when my boss called me, I went back. You know, and we don't... Where I work from Belgrade, Clark Shoe, they never laid off anybody. You know, it was slow. Sometimes they'd work half a day for a few weeks, and then it would pick up again. The orders would come in and would pick up. But this never happened at Falcon, I'll mm-hmm. tell you. We were always very busy. Yeah, it was a good place. And I got to meet Ted's father, Elmer, and his uncle, Roy. And they came in from Brockton and walked around in the factory and checked out the shoes. They were pretty happy about what we were doing, you know. Yeah. Like, we made the kids' shoes for Lamy Willingham and different other companies, you know.
So you would make them, and then they would be sold to... Many different companies, not just one.
Oh, they were already ordered. Yeah. They would have ordered like so many pairs, and they were in corrugators for 36 pairs, you know. So we would have quite a few, let's say like one order was then we had another order with the same company, and mm-hmm. we made shoes for... You know, it's been a long time, and I can't remember all the people we were. I know we made shoes for Cole a long time ago, but we always were busy. Yeah, it was great.
And did people have a chance to, socialize on the job? Was there any...
Well... We didn't stop them from talking, but there was just so much socializing. They had to stay at that place, and they would talk with the next one to them and all that, you know. Yeah. But the production kept pushing, you know. Yeah. They had to keep up with the production. And sometimes the shoes were not like it should have been, so we would have a backup, you know. But they would be very good and end up by cleaning it all up.
Yeah.
They were pretty good.
Well, I want to go back to something you said earlier about the NRA parade.
Is that? Yeah.
Do you have any more recollections of that? What was that like to happen? Did they
It was a group of people that got together, and there was a band, and they were like demonstrations, you know,
right,
walking down the street and to increase the wages.
Yeah.
And it passed. The people voted on it, I guess, I can't remember. But anyway,
yeah,
from 25 cents, we jumped to 75. Plus a little more, $1.25, and slowly, every year, slowly the minimum went up. Just like now, I think it's up to $5.75, the minimum. I'm not sure.
Even higher.
Higher.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the job, a lot of people made big money at Falcon.
Mm.
Yeah, they would come up with $13-$14 an hour. You know, a lot of people in the stitching room, people on piecework, you know. If they were good workers, they could make a good pay.
Mm.
Yeah, the cutters, the stitchers, and but the lasting room and the making room, they were hourly, you know, they were, but they still were well paid.
Yeah.
We didn't lose much help. You know, we always had good help. Yeah.
And you mentioned that your mother worked in the mill. What mill did she work in?
She was working at the Hill Mill.
And what did she do?
She was in the spinning room, spinning. Well, yeah. She worked there for quite a while. Then she worked at Bates a little bit. Then she moved to Connecticut. So I didn't move. I wanted to stay here, and so I was living with my aunt and uncle, my mother's sister. Yeah.
Okay. So you had other family in the area.
I have a family.
I said you had more family in the area. Your uncle
yes.
and aunt.
Oh yes.
And
yeah.
Did they have children?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I had one brother. That's all I had. But So.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you about your time in the shoe shops and your whole experience that you feel is important to add?
No, I think I've covered about everything that happened, you know.
Yeah.
I think, I can't think much of anything different. You know, I retired in 83 and then I kind of lost track of what was going on. And then the shoes started to move abroad, you know. But I think Falcon Shoe is very good that they lasted this long. And they're still in. We made boots, too, you know. But they were not the kind of boots that now they're making waterproof and fireproof boots. But we made regular walking boots, working. They could work with them, and they were, and we used to, the kind of leather that we had was a little blah, you know. So we had some wax that we put on a brush and brush them and give them a texture, you know. And there wasn't much to do to the boots, just a sock lining, a little repairing, and a touching up here and there, you know, for scratches or something.
Yeah.
And then we'd polish them and they were ready for the packers. Yeah. Well, I forgot. In the stitching room, after, well, I guess it's been about, well, longer than I'm saying now, but when I was working there, they had these new machines that they would emboss the vamp and make it look like the stitching, and it was a lot of time saver, you know.
Right.
They would just, the cutters would cut the vamps, and they would give them to this machine, have somebody, and they would just make little perforation on it or stitching, just like it eliminated quite a few people, but it was fast going, fast production, you know.
Can I ask a silly question? What is a vamp?
The front of the shoe.
Okay.
See, the front of the shoe, that's a vamp. Okay. Like, well, not these, yeah. but you know what, they go around here.
Right.
And then there's a back, that's before it goes to the lasting room. So when it goes to the lasting room, they're put on a last. They call them the last puller, and they put them on the last, and it goes around. They're cemented in the bottom, and it goes. It starts with the counter. They put a counter in the back of the shoe, and then it's on the last, and then it goes around, and then it's on the sole layer, you know, and it goes around on a conveyor. Mm-hmm. We had the conveyor in the lasting room. We didn't have it everywhere, but I had, finally, after a while, they extended the conveyor in my room. You know, where they came, the last puller will take the shoe off and put them on a board, like three pairs, and pass it on, and the girl would put a sock line in there and pass it on, and it kept moving like this, board after board. Sometimes it went fast and we got overloaded, but, you know, and the girls sometimes couldn't keep on, so I would add another girl there to clean it up, because I had a girl, an all-around girl, you know, who would, the shoes are, the cases are sometimes short. If they break something, they don't finish. We have to have it recut. So when they pack them, they leave the papers out. And when the shoes come around, we finish them and put them where they belong, you know, with a pair finished to try to fill up the case. So that's what it was.
Okay, thank you so much.